Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
This podcast is brought to you by no one. If you're interested in sponsoring this broadcast, email us at c4podcast@chrisklem.net. Thank you.
I have an email here from former guest, number one emailer, John Hoffner. The subject line is Weird Head. Hey, Chris, I was totally blindsided today by the firing of David Blatt. But after a brief period of reflection, I think I only need one thing in order to accept it. For Tyronn Lue to grow an afro. See subject line. I seriously hope the Cavs come out playing with a purpose against the Bulls to convince us this was a weight lifted off a team about to reach their potential. Right? This is a good thing. Right? Okay. Go Cavs. John Hoffner. John, thank you for emailing. I always appreciate your wisdom and contributions to the C4 podcast. But I really don't know what to think about David Blatt being fired, except I'm hoping in the long run it's a good thing.
Come on, Cavs. Gotta make it happen. Come on, Cavs. Gotta make it happen with your fast break action. Gotta make it happen, just keep on coming on. Gotta make it happen, come on, Cavs. Gotta make it happen, come on, Cavs. Gotta make it happen.
Welcome to Chris Clem's Cavs Cast. It's Chris. A lot has happened since the last podcast. that's an understatement. I want to first off talk about why this episode has been delayed. Last Thursday, when I was recording my podcast, my whole message was going to be that the Cavs and the fans need to stay the course and stay positive, and that we need to, as fans, not overreact. That was my main goal, about just enjoying it. And then I listened to the WaitingForNextYear.com podcast with Craig Lindahl, and he basically said everything I was going to say. So I needed to reformulate that. So I recorded the show Thursday night. I still basically kept the same message. And at the end of the episode, I'm going to play a segment from that episode because it's about the only thing that still makes sense in any context. I was saying, you know, nothing needs to change. Things have been worse. We're still enjoying this, et cetera, et cetera. And then I had all that done. And Friday, I find out on Twitter that David Blatt, the coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, had been fired. I was editing the show and I just stopped because none of it made sense. Clearly, everything that I thought as an outside observer and that we as fans should do didn't matter. The Cavs had a lot of problems that went a lot deeper than I think anybody that wasn't close to the team, like media or part of the organization, really understood. I mean, as a fan, I pay very, very, very close attention to the Cavs. And I guess I still didn't realize that David Blatt was going to be fired. I thought he was going to be fired at some point, but the timing, I think, is what really caught me and you probably off guard. But then a lot of the stories came trickling out about how David Blatt didn't connect with his players, and a lot more things started making sense. Obviously, everybody knows LeBron didn't like him, but then Brian Windhorst of ESPN heavily insinuated that just as much as LeBron didn't, Kevin Love didn't. And then things started making a lot more sense. And then I listened to a podcast from ESPN with Brian Windhorst and Dave McMenamin, who is a Cavs beat writer for ESPN, and they talked all about how no one in the locker room liked Blatt or even respected him, except maybe the con man, Sasha Khan, which makes sense because he's from Russia and he played on the Russian national team. But you know who else did? Timofey Mozgov, whose play is had gone down pretty bad this season, mostly for his knee, but who knows what else. So basically what I'm saying is I have absolutely no way of comprehending or processing my emotions and feelings about this team. Was I upset that they lost to San Antonio and Golden State? Yeah, I think everybody was upset. San Antonio, they choked it away at the end by reverting to ISO ball. And in Golden State, they just didn't show up and got flat doors blown off them from beginning to end. It was the first time I can remember. And this didn't even happen during the Dion Waiters era when Kyrie Irving was hurt and Dion was going one-on-one against the entire NBA. There wasn't a time when I was thinking to myself, I better turn this off. This is causing me actual physical discomfort to watch this game. That never happened. But against the Golden State Warriors, it did. No amount of looking at Twitter on my iPad could distract me from the horror that was unfolding in front of my eyes. It was not how pro sports are supposed to make you feel. Even when your favorite team loses, it's still a clean emotion. You feel sad, you move on with your life. I felt horrible when the Cavs lost the finals, and then I was like, all right, get them next year, go back to my life. But for some reason, watching that game, that wasn't even the feeling. I was just all over 50 years of Cleveland sports misery just came bubbling up at one point, like when you're about to throw up and you can feel that bile coming up your throat and you're trying to choke it down. I was like, is this it? This is it? The Cavs have the most talented roster that they've ever had. They have the most talented players that they've ever had. And it's still going to end going nowhere. It's still going to end in agony. You know, I got over it. And then I recorded a podcast being uplifting about it. Upbeat. And then I found out David Blatt was fired. And all my emotions were completely valid. And that's not a good feeling to have as a fan. So I'm still trying to figure out how I personally feel about it, but it really doesn't matter. Tyronn Lue is the coach. The Cavs seem to be totally on board with this move. And the last two games have been terrible. The game against the Bulls was the worst shooting performance I've ever seen from an NBA team. And the game against the Timberwolves last night was just what you expected. A terrible game that they just won because the Timberwolves suck. And there you have it. So how do I feel about David Blatt being fired? I guess it was the right move to make. Are they going to make more moves? I don't know. I think we could safely assume that they're not trading Kevin Love, not because they want to or either way, if they do or not. It's because they won't get anything back from him right now, because with his lack of production since Kyrie's come back, he's probably damaged goods. You're not going to get anything close to value in return on that. That's just a bad financial decision in terms of economic analysis. The risk reward is not there. And are they going to trade Kyrie Irving for Chris Paul? I don't know. I really find that hard to believe considering Kyrie's 7 or 8 years younger, but crazier things have happened. The point is, hopefully this coaching change changes everything around. So with that being said, I guess goodbye, David Blatt, and good luck with whatever you do next. And here's a tribute to David Blatt, 1.5 year reign as coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. And unlike Mike Brown, I don't think he's coming back for round two. Actually, no, wait, before I get to this goodbye to David Blatt, I just want to say the guy was set up to fail. He was supposed to coach Kyrie Irving, Dion Waiters, Andrew Wiggins, try to make something out of Anthony Bennett, try to get that team into the playoffs and get better. And the second that happened, it was over. I mean, maybe he didn't like Kevin Love because he spent all summer in summer league bonding with Andrew Wiggins. I don't know. The point is, all the stories came out that he was super arrogant and he never connected with the players and he had no idea how to be an NBA coach. So I guess it doesn't matter. He's gone. Peace. Sorry that all the Israeli fans have jumped off board. I'm sure that's really going to make a big dent in my podcast numbers. Stranger things have happened. Anyways, Godspeed, David Blatt. Good luck, and see you next time. Hopefully not in Cleveland, though.
Joined now by ESPN.com's Brian Windhorst. Brian, Blatt's been coaching and playing in Europe for his entire professional career. He's never coached in the States, so what do the Cavs see in this guy?
Well, he's been a guy who's been at the top of the list, along with Ettore Messina, of the most likely candidates to come over and coach in the NBA who've had success in Europe.
How do I say goodbye?
Pressure is definitely on David Bless.
LeBron James stays in there, and then he gets tagged with a foul. Offensive foul on 23. His first. And he immediately races over to argue the call. And then he pushes his coach, David Blatt, out of the way.
But for even going away, it's so hard.
The willingness for everyone involved to put the interests of the team ahead of their own individual needs or egos, and ultimately the understanding that together we're a lot more than we are as a group of individuals. I think that was the key.
Is going to be
a basketball coach makes 150 to 200 critical decisions during the course of a game. Something I think that is paralleled only by a fighter pilot.
If we get to see tomorrow.
To be honest, the play that was drawn up, I scratched it. And I just told Coach, just give me the ball. And, we're either going to go in overtime or I'm going to win it for us.
To yesterday.
This is the last game of a long road trip, second night of a back-to-back. What do you do differently to manage this team in this game?
Well, you got to play. You know, you got to come out and you got to compete. You got to keep your eyes on guys, see if they're getting tired. But that's part of the NBA season. You know, it's become such a thing to rest guys all the time and back-to-back's not. But what the hell have we been doing for the last 50 years in the NBA? Guys have been playing. I know that. A lot of guys have been playing.
And I'll say.
I know what something that's not right looks like, and I believe this was the right decision to make, and it's very possible that it's the wrong decision to make. You may hear that from our players tomorrow, and I'm open-minded to that. They don't have to like it. They have to respect that this is what we're trying to do.
It's embarrassing for the league. It really is. I mean, as I've said before, we all get into this and know no matter what happens. So David Blatt had injuries this year and everything else. We all know nobody cares about that. You're supposed to win. He did. He did. And now he's still getting fired. So it's hard to figure out what it's all about anymore now.
Before I wrap this episode up, I am going to play a segment that I recorded last Thursday, and it's pretty self-explanatory. Take it away, Chris. I don't think anybody should be upset. As a matter of fact, I think we should all just realize that this is the best Cavs team that we've ever seen in our lifetime or any lifetime since the beginning of the franchise in 1970. I'm going to right now read down every single member of the Cavaliers roster in 2010, 2011, the year that LeBron James left. And I want you to tell me if you're still a fan of this team and you'll take them losing in the championship over what we had then. Okay, here we go. Number eight, Christian Ianga. Remember him? Skyanga? Yeah, he's not playing in the NBA anymore, and we wasted a first-round draft pick on him. Excellent move. Was it Chris Grant? Danny Ferry? I think it was Chris Grant. Good job. That's why you're fired. Number one, Daniel Gibson. Domestic violence case, wannabe rapper. Number 12, Joey Graham. The Graham that was an undrafted free agent and not a first-round pick. And guess what? That first-round pick, his twin brother that played for the Raptors, I'm pretty sure he's out of the league too. Number six, Manny Harris. The guy burned himself in a cooling chamber. He got a cold burn, yet he somehow made the team. He played decent, and then he got cut because he was that dumb. He was a Michigan player, so all you Ohio State fans probably hate him anyways. I'm sorry. I'm getting really wound up. Number 21, J.J. Hickson. 2 years ago at the Cleveland Comedy Festival, I got in an argument with a comedian who told me that the Cavs were the worst franchise in the NBA because they wouldn't trade J.J. Hickson for Amari Stoudemire. You know what? that trade never even was offered. I really don't think that was the case, and I really do think the Cavs would have traded J.J. Hickson for Amari Stoudemire straight up because they were in win-now mode right then. And, you know, I don't appreciate it. This guy also blamed me. He talked about how white people are a racist disease that have ruined the world, and he pointed right at me when he was saying, and I was like, look, I'm not disagreeing with you. White people are racist, but why do I have to be emblematic of all white people? There's other white people in this conversation right now, but you're pointing at me. My point is the guy's an asshole. Ryan Hollins, number five, he's still in the league somehow. Number four, Anton Jameson, my favorite player to play as in NBA Jam on the Nintendo Wii. Number 15, Jamario Moon. He was a sad case last summer. He gave an interview to wherever he was playing in China, and he said he's waiting for Dan Gilbert to call him and get the gang back together. This was after they re-signed Mo Williams, and he was ready to do the goosey. Number 18, Anthony Parker. Can't say anything bad about him except for his sister's 15 times better and was a transcendent talent, and he was a grinder, which sucks because it seems like all the talent in his family wasn't on his side. Number 44, Leon Poe, the only man I can think of in the NBA that played with like a combined 8 ACL surgeries on both knees. Number 24, Samardo Samuels, everybody's favorite Jamaican player since Patrick Ewing, except for he wasn't good. Number 17, Anderson Varejao, still on the team. Number 31, Juwad Williams, that guy was sweet because he went to St. Ed's. Number 2, Mo Williams, back on the Cavs. And he was the best player then, and now he can't even crack the rotation. My point is we should all be happy that the Cavs are this watchable. And even if they don't win the championship, does that mean the season's wasted? No. This is still our team to be a fan of, and this is still one of the best seasons in Cleveland sports. They're still on pace for 60 wins. Cavs play against the Phoenix Suns tomorrow night in Cleveland. Hopefully this will be a better look at what they're expecting out of the new Tyronn Lue era. Of course, they haven't had any practices yet, so it might be a long time. But hopefully the Cavs are back on a championship track. And either way, they got half a season to figure things out. I'll be watching. I'll be back with another episode Thursday. Thanks for listening. Talk to you Thursday. Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.